This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If Austin Drummond's claim of being an FBI informant sounds absurd, here's the part that's even more unsettling. Three people actually helped him hide after the murders. Tanika Brown, Dara Sanders, and Giovante Thomas are now facing charges for providing him with phones, clothes, shelter, and transportation. In plain English, they gave him the tools he needed to stay ahead of police during that week-long manhunt. Now, the big question is, did they believe him? What did they know? Did Drummond sell them or sell them on him, on his fantasy of being an undercover federal source, a man whose life was in danger because he was doing the government's work? Or did they simply choose loyalty or fear over reality, deciding to protect a fugitive regardless of what story he spun? That's the murky part of the case no one really knows the answer to right now, because we don't yet know how much these three understood about what had just happened. Did they know four people were dead? Did they know a baby had been left abandoned? Or did they just hear Drummond's pitch and decide to go along with it? Here's the thing about manipulation. It doesn't require a story to be believable. It only requires a story to be delivered with enough confidence to make someone hesitate. Drummond, for all his instability, has shown again and again he knows how to intimidate, how to pressure, how to create urgency. And if you're someone already struggling in life financially, socially, emotionally, that pressure can be enough to make you act against your own best interest. So when you look at Brown, Sanders, and Thomas, you have to ask, were they co-conspirators knowingly aiding a killer, or were they just pawns in Drummond's game, duped into thinking they were helping a man on some covert mission? That distinction matters. It matters legally, but it also matters for how we understand the reach of someone like Drummond, because manipulation doesn't stop at victims. It seeps into everyone nearby, pulling people into the orbit of destruction. Robin Drake is here again. He's spent his career studying how people manipulate, recruit, and control others. So let's get into that, Robin. When you see three people lining up to help a man like Drummond, and what does that tell you? And how do you separate loyalty from deception in cases like this? Let's get into it.
Yeah, in other words, does he believe his own shit?
Kind of Lori Daybell-ish in a totally different way, yeah.
Exactly. So, potentially, it's always hard to tell because we're not behind that screen.
Yeah.
And that. So, here's another reason why polygraphs can't be admissible in court, because polygraphs, again, I know we didn't bring this up, but it just made me think of that.
Yeah.
Polygraphs measure, you know, biological responses to stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
And so in other words, when you are under stress, your body does certain things that register stress. And that's what the machine reads is, are you under stress in the situation from what you normally are? And when we are lying or deceiving or consciously thinking bad thoughts, our body gets under stress. Fight or flight kicks in, even at a little granular level, and that machine can pick it up. And a good polygrapher can have a great interview and read the machine to see when stress is induced and what question caused it. And so that why it's not admissible is because if you are telling lies but believe your own lies, like wholeheartedly believe your own lies that you've created this fiction in your head,
mm-hmm.
you're going to pass a polygraph.
Yeah.
Typically, we would not use polygraphs, they always wanted for high-end sources for us to actually polygraph the source to make sure they're not lying or deceiving us. And when you're working against some countries in the world, Russians are fantastic at passing polygraphs, even though they're lying their asses off.
Yeah.
Because they just believe their own shit.
Yeah.
And so we wouldn't do it because it was a completely useless thing. And so it's possible in this case that he is so immersed in his own fiction that he believes it. I have a hard time thinking that, though. He seems pretty, at least from the outside, he seems pretty conscious. I mean, he kind of taking this in a totality of him utilizing people and manipulating people. I saw this more as him using this story, this fabrication, so he could manipulate people onto his side, so they felt safer in saying yes to doing stupid shit for him. Mm-hmm. Because, well, if the government's on board, then I'll probably be protected too. And yeah. He then just took it to the next level when kind of rationalizing to everyone that why he did what he did.
And that's going to be real fascinating because there's three other people who have been arrested and charged. Tanaka Brown, Dara Sanders, and Giovante Thomas now facing charges for helping him after the murders. We still don't know what they knew about the murders. We don't know if they even knew that there was murders. We just know that they assisted him in some way, shape, or form. So I think that's important because it's easy to go, oh my God, this guy just killed all these people and you're all helping him? Who knows what they knew? They may have believed he was an FBI informant and they were doing the right thing, exactly like you just said. And well, then he may have been able to spin a really good game. I mean, the guy, he's 29. He's been in and out of jail for a long time, but he's been out. That's a big thing, out for a long time, and obviously able to manipulate people. And I don't know much about these folks. Obviously, you know, what they seem to be involved in, I'm going to guess maybe not the brightest and might be easily manipulatable for someone like this. And that's the scary thing, is if you have someone out there like this saying these things, I really wonder what they knew about this man prior to saying, yeah, let me help him, what that relationship was right there.
Yeah. So he could probably, again, pure far out conjecture on this one. I mean, so, you know, because I'm going to take the in defense of the people that helped him, saying that they were duped by him. So it'd be very easy for someone that's got a lot of life skills in manipulation like he has and spinning yarns, because he was in the system that there were people probably that had been informants for the FBI at some point or other. He watched some movies. Mm-hmm. He's heard these stories. And so he creates this fabrication. And so part of this fabrication could be, hey, you know, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z, and I can pay you. And so when you're dealing with people that are having a hard time paying their bills, they might be on food stamps. I don't know what it is. And you have someone that's claiming, because they can really talk the crap really well, that they're under the FBI's control or law enforcement control. And if they help him, he can actually get them money as well. But through him to protect them, you can see them going along with it. If he was able to paint that picture for them, what I also found interesting too, though, was people claiming or him claiming that he's close to people. I'm not buying that either, because he's not close to anyone. He's a total all about him. And I think he just manipulated a hell of people. I'd be interested to see what trauma bonding might have gone on with people along the lines with this guy too.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot in that chapter of his book.
Without
a doubt. I mean, how often do we see this? I actually had a conversation not long ago with someone who had to do a little digging. It was they knew someone who was claiming that they were at one point in time an FBI agent, not a source, not this, but like that they were this. And they went through a good chunk of their life with relationships with people saying, this is what I do. I can't talk more about it. That sort of thing.
Saying they were an agent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you see it in movies. I mean, this guy is claiming, you know, he's an informant. I mean, how often does this happen? I mean, do you recall much of this in your career in there, where you hear about, holy shit, look at how far this person went, you know, duping these people, making this sort of claim? Is this a common thing in our society?
It happens.
Yeah.
We have this thing called holster sniffers.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And these are people that just like sniffing up the sides of law enforcement or FBI,
yeah,
claiming, trying to have that notoriety by association.
Yeah.
I've seen it. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's just sad. You know, it's very verifiable though. That's why.
Sure.
So here's something typical. So so here's a bit of public service information for folks out there. If anyone in your life is claiming that, I can't speak to the confidence human source side,
yeah,
about how to verify that, because you shouldn't be able to verify that.
Yeah.
An FBI agent would never verify. Now, for employment, it really depends on. See, there's always depends.
Yeah, there's always the caveats. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually had a friend, a source of mine that became a friend after they no longer a source, that actually applied to another three-letter agency. Mm-hmm. And as she's applying to this three-letter agency, you know, another intel agency, and she wanted to put down how she's already helped out people, mm-hmm, like me.
Yeah.
And I've actually verified that for another three-letter agency. Yeah, we actually had her open as a competent human source. I've actually,
sure,
done that for people's resumes. It's rare and depends on the circumstance and for who. I got permission, you know, to do that sort of thing because again, you want, the whole purpose of the competent human source program is to get information to protect citizens and national security of the United States. And because it's such a confidential relationship, because the knowledge of the relationship could either hurt people,
mm-hmm,
kill people, or damage professional or personal relationships. That's why we call that that's why we call it confidential, because it could do a lot of damage to people's lives. And so we're very, very reticent to let that knowledge out anywhere, because if we do haphazardly, who would want to sign up to be a competent human source?
Mm-hmm.
No one, because it destroys the brand of the confidentiality. And so that's why we're very, very reticent, if ever, to release that kind of information, verify that kind of information, because otherwise, why would, you know, it's like, think about Apple. Apple, mm-hmm, doesn't like giving out any of the algorithms to crack into their phones, even to law enforcement. Why? Because you destroy the safety security that people have in buying the product, that I can keep myself private.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of mentality of, we just don't do that. Now on the FBI, now on someone claiming they're an agent, that's actually really easy to verify. Say, well,
sure,
all right, I understand you don't want to verify anything, which to me is a bunch of hogwash. I tell,
yeah,
people all the time, because if you are a good human being and you're rolling in life like I do, trying to create great relationships, half the things you try to do is be proactive and find people that can help out. And the other half is to be the person that people want to come to. So you're this lighthouse, this beacon, that so it makes your job easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if people know what you do and are sensitized to the kind of person you are, I've had people volunteer to be sources for me because they knew where to find me.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you just say, all right, I understand you can't verify that. Tell me the field office you're out of, because there's only 56 of them. And then the individual can call the field office, the main number that you can find anywhere on the internet or anywhere, and just say, hey, all I need to do is verify this individual is an agent with the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. Robin put it bluntly, Drummond is not close to anyone. He doesn't build bonds. He exploits them. That's what makes the story of his accomplices so compelling. Because whether they believed his FBI fantasy or just chose to help anyway, the end result is the same. They gave cover to a man accused of destroying a family. And here's the tragic irony. If they really did believe him, if they thought they were helping someone doing the government's work, then they were victims of his manipulation too. Victims in a different way than the family he's accused of killing, but victims nonetheless. And that's the thing about pathological liars. They don't just tell stories. They build entire alternate realities and drag people into them. And when those people finally come up for air, it's often too late. The damage is already done. The charges are already filed. And their names are forever tied to someone else's crimes. But if they didn't believe him, if they knew exactly what he was and helped anyway, then this case becomes a chilling reminder of how loyalty, fear, or desperation can override conscience. Maybe they thought helping him would earn them money. Maybe they thought it would protect them from him turning on them next. Or maybe they just didn't think at all and went along with the chaos because chaos was all they knew. Either way, Drummond's ability to pull others into his orbit is part of the story here. It shows how violence doesn't happen in a vacuum. It radiates outward, infecting the lives of everyone close enough to get caught up in the lie. And that's something the jury won't be able to ignore, not just what Drummond did, but how he manipulated others into doing his bidding while four lives lay extinguished. So when you step back and look at the case, the murders, the baby, the fugitive, the FBI fantasy, the accomplices, it's almost hard to believe one person could wreak this much havoc. But then you realize this is exactly who Austin Drummond has always been. A manipulator, a liar, a man who thrives on creating stories that distract from the truth. And as Robin said, when you strip away the noise, what you're left with isn't an informant. It's just another violent criminal who believes his own con. And maybe that's the most important takeaway here. Lies can stretch a long way, but they eventually collapse under their own weight. When they do, they take everyone tied to them down too. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there. You can do that same search also on any platform that you get your podcasts. Give me your thoughts on those comments, and please do press subscribe. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.